Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Today, I am going to take you back in time to the 1930s and 1940s in good old Louisiana.
Louisiana, baby!
This case is very electrifying. I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Toni Jo Henry today. And she is famous or infamous for being the only woman in the state of Louisiana to die by electric chair.
Shocking.
And I need to give a shout out to Matt Frugier for this recommendation.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Him and his wife and his dad are probably some of our biggest fans.
Oh, much love to y'all.
Yes, we appreciate y'all. And it's really interesting. Well, Matt got me interested in this because he kind of has a personal connection
to this case
by his grandmother.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain at the end of the episode because I don't want to ruin.
Okay.
I want to build it up for you.
Yeah. Build it up, girl.
Okay. So Toni Jo Henry was born on January 3rd, 1916. And her parents named her Annie Beatrice McQuiston.
Okay.
She was born near Shreveport, Louisiana in Cato Parish. And for those of y'all not in Louisiana, a parish is the same thing as a county in every other state.
Correct.
We're different.
That's right.
Toni was the middle child of her parents. She was third in line of birth order. And her siblings lived with their grandmother for a while when her mother was sick. Toni Jo's mother would die when Toni was only 6 years old. And she died of tuberculosis.
Oh, gosh. That's a terrible death.
Yeah. After her mother died, Toni and her siblings were sent to live with their father and stepmother. And Toni did not like living with her father and stepmother, and she always wanted to return to her grandmother's home.
I bet. Why couldn't her grandma take care of her?
I think her dad wanted her to go. Like, I think they wanted the kids to stay with him.
Yeah.
Because she does go back and forth from the research I did. She goes back and forth between her dad and her grandmother. But it seems like she always has to go back to dad.
I got you.
At the age of 13, Toni began working in a macaroni factory.
Macaroni factory?
Yes. Isn't that random?
I never knew there was such a thing.
I didn't either when I was reading this.
Well, I guess in the 1900s, maybe. Like,
yeah. When I was looking at this, I was like, that's kind of a cool place to work.
That is very cool.
I wonder if you have to, like, hand roll all the little elbow noodles or poke a hole in them, get them.
Maybe.
I would like to look this up. I want to look it up on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure they don't have video footage from the 1920s on YouTube.
Nope.
It's not of a macaroni factory.
Macaroni factory. Okay.
All right. So this job didn't last very long, unfortunately. Uh-oh. When her employer found out that someone in her family had tuberculosis, she was terminated. Yeah. Even though it was 7 years ago.
Right.
And she's
thought she'd have had it by now.
She's obviously not living with the person that had tuberculosis because she's dead.
Right. She's in the clear after 7 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it can incubate longer.
Maybe so.
Who knows? Well, somebody knows.
Somebody knows.
Not us.
Yeah. In my medical opinion, I have no idea.
Ditto.
Ditto. When her father found out she had lost her job, he beat her severely.
What? So her boss fires her because her mother had tuberculosis.
Yes.
And she got fired.
Yeah. And her dad beat her for getting fired for being related to somebody who had tuberculosis.
Oh, God.
And he seems like a real loving father.
What a charmer.
I don't know why she didn't want to live with him.
Either.
Toni did not want to put up with this type of treatment, so she left home. She lived alone on the streets at the age of 13.
Poor baby.
And made money by hustling and prostitution.
Mm-mm. Way too young for that.
Yeah.
Golly.
At this time, Annie Beatrice McQuiston changed her name to Toni Jo Hood.
Well,
I know this isn't funny, but that's such a random last name to choose as your new last name. And maybe Hood is a common name elsewhere, But like in Louisiana, I would have expected her to pick some coon ass last name, like something everybody has. Thibodeau, Boudreaux,
Fontenot.
Oh, she could be related to me.
Pick one.
Yes. So Tony Jo Hood would later work in a brothel in Shreveport, Louisiana's red light district.
I did not know Shreveport had a red light district.
I did not
either. And a brothel.
And yes. When I was reading this up, I saw it in like two or three different sources. And I'm like, there is no way Shreveport had a red light district. They had a red light district.
Seriously.
Yes. I went to like the city of Shreveport's page and they had like some historical information on it. I was like,
who'd have thought?
What?
Didn't know.
I know. I wonder if any other Louisiana towns had a red light district.
Apparently there's a lot we just don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I've lived under a rock. I'm very sheltered. Shoot. So when I was doing my Google searches to make sure that the red light district actually existed,
yeah,
I found that there was an area of legal brothels in Shreveport. And they were in an area downtown called the Red Light District.
Yeah.
So it was legal at this time to sex work.
Okay.
I couldn't find exactly how long it lasted, but I thought that was really interesting because I think right now Las Vegas or Nevada is the only state
that allows sex workers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting that at one point Shreveport had it too.
Wow. Ahead of their times.
Yeah, and they were very smart because this area was right by the central business district.
Oh.
Yep. So I'm guessing that working men were attracted to this area, you know, after a long day at work. They clock out, get in the horse and buggy, trot down the red light district for an afternoon snack, hit the bar for a few drinks, then head on home and do it all over again the next day.
Oh, yikes.
During this hustling and prostitution stage of Tony's life, she would become addicted to cocaine and pimping herself out all over Louisiana and South Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she was mobile. And, man, I mean, just 13, 14, however old she was, she was addicted to cocaine already.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's, her life story is sad. She really didn't have a chance. Mm-mm. In 1939, one of Tony's regular clients in Austin, Texas, Claude Henry, would fall in love with her and marry her.
Oh.
Yeah. And Claude was a prize fighter who was on a downward trajectory at this time.
It's like the movie with Julia Roberts.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Yes, it is.
Tony Jo is Julia Roberts.
She is. I wonder if that movie is based somewhat on Tony Jo.
I don't know.
I didn't even think about that. Huh. Tony and Claude married on November 25th, 1939, and spent their honeymoon in Southern California. When Tony and Claude returned to Austin from their honeymoon, Claude was arrested for the murder of a former San Antonio police officer.
What? What?
Yeah, Tony Jo can really pick him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like...
Are you speechless?
Yeah, like my brother, I was like... You got married.
Yeah.
You went on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
You get home and he goes to prison.
Right.
That's
what the hell?
Pretty eventful.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's a real nice wedding gift for Tony Jo.
No doubt.
Baby, I love you and I want to give you the best things in life. And 24 hours later, so, you know, I did this thing. I may or may not be going away for life.
I may have exaggerated just a skosh.
Just a little bit.
God.
Yeah. In January of 1940, 2 months after their marriage, Claude was sentenced to 50 years in prison.
Oh.
I would be pissed. I would be so mad.
I wonder if she even knew what he did.
I think she thought he was a prize fighter. He was like on the bottom side of his prize fighting stage. But
right.
I don't know if she actually knew that he had killed somebody before they went on their honeymoon. And if you killed somebody and you knew they knew, why would you come back?
Yeah, let's just live in California.
You went all the way over there. You might as well stay. At least you can have a little bit of a wedding, which I guess is really illegal. Don't do that.
No,
don't. Sorry about that.
God. We're so terrible with advice.
We really are. Okay, anything I tell y'all to do, do the opposite.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Use your better judgment.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So they did meet in a brothel while she was addicted to cocaine and he was on Lord knows what. So I guess this wasn't that surprising to Tony Jo. I don't know. But Tony Jo was dead set on spending her life with her new husband. So she began to make plans on ways to bust him out of jail. He was locked up in the Texas State Penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas.
Okay.
And she sought assistance from a military deserter and con man named Harold Arkey Burks.
Arkey.
Arkey, yeah. That was his nickname. And I'd love to know what Arkey means or how he got that nickname.
Maybe it's from Arkansas.
Maybe so.
A little Arkey.
Old Arkey. Arkey had told Tony Joe that he knew the layout of the prison that Claude was in, and he would help her get him out of prison.
I wonder how she met him.
Yeah. I don't know if she went back to sex work or if Arkey was her neighbor, friendly neighborhood con man.
Friendly neighborhood con man.
So Tony Joe and Arkey were both broke teenagers, so they needed to figure out a way to make money. They came to the most logical conclusion. They were going to rob a bank.
Oh, okay.
This was definitely the quickest, maybe easiest way to get cash, though not the most ethical or legal way.
It's usually frowned upon.
Yep. It's definitely frowned upon. These two had nothing to their name. And they knew that they couldn't just walk into a bank, smile sweetly at the teller, and say, "Can you pretty please give me all your
money?
Doesn't
work that way.
So I don't pop a cap in your ass."
Doesn't work that way.
No, that's not how it's going to happen. They're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
Because, you know, if they would have said this, they had no way to back it up. And you have to be able to accomplish your threat if you're going to be a successful bank robber.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Tony, Joe, and Arkey did the smartest thing, and they robbed a gun store. So they could have guns and ammunition for their heist.
What did they threaten the gun store for?
I don't know. Like, I feel like they walked in with butter knives and like, "Give me your best gun and all the ammunition that goes with it."
I feel like the gun store owner would just be drawing a gun on them.
Yes, you would think.
What the heck?
Like, okay, no. Just grab one off the wall and point it at him. Get out of my shop.
No.
Somehow they robbed it and they got their gun and their ammunition.
All right, success.
And I'm pretty sure their motto was, if you're going to break the law, you might as well do it big.
Might as well. Go big or go home.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even I wonder if they robbed somewhere to get, like, stockings to go over their face. Like, we have nothing else.
A lingerie store.
Give me your darkest pair of stockings. I don't want them to see me.
I'd like them in nude, please.
Do you have sheer?
What?
So, obviously, at this point, Tony, Joe, and Arkey, they don't have a vehicle or any type of transportation to even get to the bank rob it or to get to the prison in Huntsville.
Tell me they hitchhike.
They hitchhike! Yes, they do!
Can you wait outside for us?
Okay, look, just go park right down there.
Yeah.
Don't leave. We'll be right back. And they start putting their mask and stuff on the back seat. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, just pull around the corner. Leave the engine running.
And when I say go, you step on
it. We'll be right back. BRB.
So they were needing to hitchhike 192 miles from Shreveport. And these upstanding citizens decided to hitchhike to where they needed to go.
Okay. So, oh God, this is...
It's a lot.
This is a whirlwind. So, are they planning on robbing a bank in Huntsville, then going to bust him out?
Yes. They're either going to rob the bank in Huntsville or near Huntsville.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll be a distraction. And then they can go to the prison. But I don't think that they knew that the same people that work at the prison are probably not going to be the ones investigating the bank robbery.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so they really didn't think things through on this one.
Okay, all right. I was confused why they threw in the bank robbery, but...
Yeah, well, they needed money to get to Huntsville. I don't know. They needed money to escape or
then they
maybe
should have robbed a bank in Shreveport.
Yeah. Maybe they were going to buy some dynamite and try to bust old Claude out.
Okay. Continue. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I know. This throws up lots of questions.
It does.
Very questionable behavior.
A little bit.
Joseph Calloway was bringing a Ford coupe to a friend when he came upon Tony, Joe, and Arkey hitchhiking. Trying to help these two, Joseph offered the two a ride. While the group was passing through Jennings, Louisiana, Tony and Arkey decided to strike, and they held Joseph up at gunpoint.
Mm.
They locked Joseph in the trunk of his car and drove down to an out-of-the-way country road. Mm. They were planning on using the car as their getaway vehicle for the bank robbery and prison break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In their minds, there was only one problem. Mm-mm. The owner of the car in the trunk.
Nope.
Yeah.
Dump him out. Just dump him out.
Yeah.
Just steal the car.
Take the license plate off, hand it to him, leave him in the field, and head on over to rob the bank and go bust your husband out of prison. So they pulled off the back road they were on and had Joseph get out of the trunk and walk into a field.
Oh, no.
The two had Joseph take off his clothes because Tony Jo wanted them for her good old husband Claude to wear after they broke him out of prison.
Well, she's a forward thinker.
She really is, thinking ahead. They then shot Joseph once in the head, killing him instantly, and left him in the field.
Poor Joseph.
Yeah. He's trying to do something just nice.
Minding his own business. Yeah. Trying to help others out.
Sees two teenagers walking down the road and like, oh, let me help you. And then they kill him. While on the way to break out Claude, they pass through Camden, Arkansas. And by now, Arky is regretting a lot of his life decisions when it comes to Tony Jo. He's scared for his own safety because he doesn't know how far Tony will go to get Claude out of prison. So he leaves her. And he takes their getaway vehicle.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
He robbed a store, shot a guy, and now he's scared?
Yep.
Okay.
He's scared of Tony. She's crazy, he said.
Maybe she's the one that shot Joseph.
She is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Orky was not expecting that. He wasn't expecting to kill anybody. He just wanted some money, some guns, and a prison break. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in it for the murder.
I got you.
So, you know, Arky's a real stand-up guy. Mm-hmm. He leaves her high and dry. But as I was researching this, I'm really confused how they began their criminal spree in Shreveport, hitchhiking to Huntsville, Texas, which is southwest of Shreveport, and it's about 192 miles. Mm-hmm. They found a ride and headed from Shreveport to Jennings, Louisiana, which is southeast.
Right.
So in the complete opposite direction of where they needed to go. And it's about 212 miles, which, again, it's in the opposite direction of the prison. They then headed to Camden, Arkansas, which is basically straight north from Jennings and around 265 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. And Camden to the prison was about 299 miles.
Wow.
So they're going on a weird triangle shape.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they never even came close. They never even made it into Texas. So when Arky bailed, Tony then had to find a ride to get back from Camden to Shreveport. Mm-hmm. Which was about 116 miles away.
Golly.
Yeah, so it's like they went down, they went over, they went back up all the way.
I think that was to maybe confuse police or like if they were to get caught or...
Yeah, I thought about that and then I also thought like maybe they just had no sense of direction. Like I'm confused on this route because they went up and down and around. Like I don't know if they didn't know how to navigate, which I mean...
Well, if she quit school at 13 and maybe, you know, maybe she didn't.
Yeah, I mean, if neither one of them had a car, so they probably really don't know much about driving. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, back then you'd probably have to have a paper map and like try to follow the lines, which is hard enough.
Right.
I guess Arky and Tony were just like flipping a coin when they got to a turn. Do we go right or left? Heads for right, tails for left.
Yeah, maybe.
I really don't know how they got around.
Right.
So now Tony has no conspirator, no money, and no getaway vehicle. Mm. So she returned to Shreveport and moved in with her aunts. At some point after Tony arrived, maybe over a nice brunch, she informed her aunt that she murdered a man near Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh.
Then asked her to pass the butter. Yeah. No, I'm joking about passing the butter, but seriously, somehow in their conversation, Tony informed her aunt that she killed a man.
She just blurbed it out.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how this comes up in conversation. So how was your Easter? Oh, good, good. Husband's all right. Yeah, yeah, he's in prison still. He's doing fine. Okay, you want to come with me to church on Sunday? Yep. Murdered a man near Lake Charles. Okay. What do you want for supper? I don't know.
Would you like some more sweet tea?
Would you like some more sweet tea, boo?
God.
Thankfully, not everyone Tony associated with was ruthless, and her aunt contacted her brother, who was a Louisiana state trooper.
Oh, so her uncle was a state trooper?
Yep.
Tony. Yep.
She is definitely not the smartest criminal.
No.
She is not thinking any of this out. Mm-mm.
She could have gone to her uncle when her dad was beating her over.
Exactly. Nonsense. Over, yeah, like, you've lost your job because your mom had tuberculitis. And like, no.
Tuberculosis.
There's my medical training coming out.
Again, we are not, full disclosure, we are not medical professionals.
So Toni was arrested shortly after this conversation and interviewed
by her uncle.
Well, the Shreveport police arrested her and they interviewed her. The uncle tips them off. I guess he recused himself. It was kind of like a conflict of interest.
Sure, yeah.
And while she was being interviewed, she told the officer where Joe's body could be found. Mm-hmm. Toni Joe had multiple trials for this crime.
For the one crime?
The one crime, the murder. Her first trial was held March 27th through 29th in 1940 in the Calcasieu Courthouse, which is in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay.
Toni Joe was a very pretty girl, and the murder she committed was brutal and held the possibility of the death penalty. Due to both of these issues, her trial garnered a lot of attention.
I bet so.
Yeah. In this trial, Toni denied firing the fatal shot at Joseph. She insisted that Arky was the one who killed Joseph. The jury deliberated for 6 hours and found Toni guilty and sentenced her to be hanged.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were hangings.
Yes, they were still doing hangings.
Oh, God.
And good old Arky was tried at a later time, and he was also found guilty and sentenced to death.
Mm-hmm.
Toni appealed her sentence due to the fact that there was so much publicity surrounding her trial. It was likely that the jurors had been influenced by outside sources and were therefore biased against her before they even heard her side of the story. And after reviewing this, she was given a new trial. The second trial was held in February of 1941. Arky took the stand during this trial and spilled the whole story of what she did and what she was planning to do. Arky was not present for the first trial and therefore did not testify against her. This time, the jurors took 1 whole hour to deliberate and find her guilty.
Oh.
And she was sentenced to death.
Again. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Toni immediately appealed and was given a third trial.
What?
Yes. Like, what? Why? Why do you get so many?
Yeah.
Third time's a charm? I don't know.
Not in my case.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like her chances are improving. There's no new evidence. Like, at least at the first trial, there was a 6 hour deliberation. The second trial only had 1 hour deliberation. Like, you're not looking more innocent. You're looking more guilty. I don't know if she thought she had breaking, mind-bending evidence that proved she's innocent.
Mind-bending.
Because I don't see this trial going any different for her than the first two.
What was the basis for the third trial?
The basis was that her case was familiar again and that Arky's testimony could not be trusted because he was also convicted of killing the guy, and they couldn't have both killed the guy.
Which is
true, but...
That is.
You didn't do anything to stop her from killing him.
No, he drove him out into the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Made him strip.
Yeah, so...
What did he think was going to happen with a gun?
Yeah. We're just going to play hot potato with it? I don't know. It's just pretend? Who knows? So Toni's third trial was held in January 1942. And are you ready for this?
I am.
Toni was found guilty and sentenced to death again.
Are you kidding me?
Swear. I know you're shocked.
Ain't no way.
I'm pretty shocked. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. I'm just kidding. Yes, I did.
I did.
Of course, she again immediately tried to appeal this verdict as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But finally, her appeal was denied.
Denied.
I mean, you've had 3 trials in 3 years, and you've been guilty and sentenced to death for all three.
Yeah. I wonder how many times you can appeal it.
I don't know. That's a good question. She also tried to appeal to the governor for clemency, but the governor wasn't biting, and her death sentence was upheld. During all the trials for Toni, Louisiana changed their preferred method of execution from hanging to electrocution.
Neither one of those sound good to me.
I wouldn't want to watch that. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. That sounds really, really terrible.
I know.
On November 28th, 1942, Toni Joe was electrocuted in the basement of the Calcasieu Parish Courthouse. The electric chair that was used was portable and would also be used on Archie for his execution in March 1943.
They made a portable electric chair.
Yeah. And it was in the basement. So how did you get it back upstairs?
Elevator.
Oh, they had elevators back then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense. 4 days before Tony's execution, her husband Claude escaped from the Huntsville prison in order to see Tony one last time.
So he ended up escaping on his own.
He did.
They robbed a gun store, shot a man for nothing.
Yep, for absolutely nothing, because he could do it all by himself.
My gosh.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, one of them, he was captured in Beaumont, Texas, and would not see her before her execution.
Mm.
And I do have to give Claude a hand. At least he was heading in the right direction to get to Lake Charles.
He didn't head to Arkansas.
Unlike Tony and Archie, he knew where he was going.
Maybe that's why they were in Arkansas, because Archie was from Arkansas.
Like, I honestly don't know if Archie and Tony would have ever stumbled upon Huntsville, Texas.
Maybe not.
I don't know what their plan was to get there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shortly after his escape, Claude was paroled due to ill health. And he would be shot to death by a cafe owner in Dallas, Texas on July 15th, 1945, while he was still on parole. Supposedly,
that's some karma.
Yeah. Supposedly, the Lake Charles or the Calcasieu Parish Courthouse is haunted by Tony Joe.
We're going to have to go check that out.
Yes. They said whenever you go down in the basement where she was electrocuted, mm-hmm. It gets really, really cold. And it's never cold in Louisiana, so you know there's a sign right there. I didn't think we could have basements around here because the soil was so soft.
I don't know.
Or maybe we just don't have a use for basements.
I don't think we have a use for them.
Yeah, probably not. Also, some of the offices that used to be for the judges and district attorneys
mm-hmm.
and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they also had reported like things falling off their desks, stuff changing without them doing it. So I think it was actually on one of like the History Channel's haunted shows.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Was she the only person executed in the courthouse?
She was the only female executed.
So there were other executions.
There were.
It is haunted.
Yeah. So other spirits could still be hanging around.
I say we take our podcast mobile and
yes.
go down to the courthouse in the
yes.
basement.
I wonder if they offer tours or anything. Like, I bet we could talk them into it.
I bet we could.
I know one of the ADAs. I wonder if she'll help us.
She will.
All right. So we're finally at the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to tell you how Matt's grandma is linked to this story.
Okay.
His grandma told him that her father was going to stop and pick up two hitchhikers, but the Ford coupe in front of him stopped first. So he continued on his way. This is the same Ford coupe that would later find out was driven by Joseph Calloway. What are the odds? Like, whenever he told me that, I got shivers. I have, like, goosebumps
right now. I have goosebumps.
Yeah, like, he was planning on stopping, but the car in front of him stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
wowzers.
Wow. Yeah, that really got me. That's what really made me want to look into this story.
That is insane.
And again, I want to thank Matt for this recommendation and thank his grandma because she is the one, I guess, that pointed him towards this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you had an electrifying experience.
It was shocking. It was shocking.
Oh, that's what she said. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.